Welcome to the Liberty of the Captives podcast, coming to you from North Attleboro, Massachusetts. And now, here's your host for today's presentation, Lisa Ruby.
Welcome back to the Liberty to the Captives podcast. We have with us again today Mary Hostek, a Bible-believing Christian from Oklahoma. Mary has read through the Bible with her husband over 89 times. She's read through the Bible. Thank you for joining us again today, Mary.
Hey, Lisa. It's good to be back. I want to share some scripture with you. It's kind of a continuation from last time. As we talked last time about how some of the pastors, a big percentage of the pastors will quote only part of a scripture. Here is one that I want to share with you. It is Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, many people, many pastors, many teachers will put a period there. Here is the rest of it. I'm going to start over. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Now that's the rest of that verse. So when someone says to you, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, you need to say, finish the verse. And when you say finish the verse, watch the expression on their face, because they do not know the rest of that verse. So here again is taking scripture out of context, only adding a little bit of truth to a verse. Now, we're told in the book of Revelations, chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, that we are not to add to nor take away from the Word of God. Now, this would be adding to or actually taking away, because they're not finishing the verse. They will build a teaching and their doctrine around, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I want to tell you, folks, don't fall for that. Get in your Bible. This is just one of many, many reasons why you need to know. Another scriptures that I would like to share with you today, and it's crucial that you know about these. They're found in Ezekiel. The first one, please write these down and you can check them out later. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. Again, I want to tell you, read it all to keep it in context. I don't want to encourage anyone to just go in and read a verse. Read it all so you won't be deceived. And then you go to Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 20 through 32. And then go to Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 13 through 18. Now, these verses, reading it in context, God says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman and to the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. And then the verses that follow that, he is warning the wicked. And then when you go down to verses 20, it says, again, when a righteous man does turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he has done, shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. So these verses, we are to warn the wicked. But when we see someone who is righteous or says that they are righteous, we are to warn that righteous person. This clearly says that the righteous shall die in his sin. Now, for the once saved, always saved people who have been taught, you have to have been taught once saved, always saved, because it is not in the Bible, at least not in the King James Bible. So as we use our spiritual discernment, as we listen to TV preachers, we listen to them, they'll get up there and they'll read just enough Bible to make a person assume that they know what all the Bible says. Please don't be deceived by this. Most pastors, again I will say, have never read the whole Bible. And most pastors are off into what we call Antichrist Bibles because they delete so much scripture. For instance, the NIV Bible in Acts 8, chapter 8, verse 37, it completely deletes the deity of Christ. This is when Philip is talking to the eunuch, and the eunuch asks, "Here is water. What will keep me from being baptized?" And Philip says, "It can be baptized if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That's verse 37. It completely deletes that. Now let's go back to Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19. We're not to add to, and we're not to take away from the Word of God. There is a penalty for doing that. I would be scared to death to tamper with the Word of God. So I'm asking you folks, please, please get into the Bible. Know it by heart. Hide the Word in your heart that you may not sin against God. This is my desire for myself. But it is also my desire for you to get grounded in Scripture. As you listen to these TV preachers, at least stay in the Bible. And pretty soon, like Jim and I did, you will turn the TV preachers off. We just got out of the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. And if you will go to, of course, all the Bible's important, but these three books especially are parallel to the times that we are living in now. And how do I know that? It's because we have read them so many times. As a baby Christian, when I first read these books, I said out loud, "This sounds like the times we are in now." And that was back in the early 90s. And today is 2007, so even more so, those days are parallel to the books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. Please read these books and read them carefully. Don't be afraid to underline things and circle things in that Bible.
Well, Mary, what would you have to say to people who have been under dispensational teaching and they're told that, well, the Old Testament doesn't apply to me? Or, for instance, mid-Acts dispensationalists will say the whole Bible doesn't apply to me except for the writings of Paul. By the way, the writings of Paul don't teach once saved, always saved. But what do you say about that? Because you quoted from Ezekiel about turning from your righteousness.
It's so simple. You either believe what the dispensationalists have taught you, or you believe what the Bible says. It's that simple. If you will study the Bible and then get into the teachings of a dispensationalist, you will immediately see that they are opposite of what the Bible teaches. Back in when we were in, we were in so many places over the years, but one time, this was in, I believe, either West Virginia or Virginia. I had gone into a Bible shop and made friends with a lady that worked there, and she had this huge, it was almost like a banner, a poster thing along the wall, and it was on dispensationalism. And I said to her, "That all is a lie." She looked at me real strange, and I said, "You need to compare these teachings to what the Bible said." Now, here is another person who was not grounded in Scripture. She didn't know this. Another time, Jim and I went to this little Baptist church here, and in our hometown, and they had this dispensationalism poster along the wall. And Jim said to the pastor, "That's a lie." And the pastor looked at Jim real strange. And Jim tried to explain it to him, but here is the same pastor that I sat with my husband, the pastor's wife, and the pastor at the pastor's house at their little dining table. And I shared this again when a righteous man does turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity. I shared that scripture with the pastor. I read it 3 times to him. He was taught, once saved, always saved, and he looked like a deer in the headlights. It went right over his head, and I read it 3 times to him. And today, now this was 2 years ago at least, today he still teaches and preaches, once saved, always saved. So when you're taught these things, dispensationalism, once saved, always saved, the pre-trib rapture, these are all false teachings. You, as a Christian, must weigh the Word of God against the false teachings. How are you going to know that these are false teachings? It's because you're in the Holy Scripture.
Well, Mary, the New Testament says that we can draw back to perdition, and that goes right along with turning from your righteousness, doesn't
Absolutely. The New Testament goes right along with the Old Testament. I had an, he was an elderly man one time. I ran into him in the grocery store here in our town. And immediately we got off into the scripture. I just can't help myself, folks. It's just one of those things. And he said that the Old Testament is no longer important, that we are a New Testament church. Now, I was still sort of a baby Christian, but I was still in the Word of God, and I was getting grounded. And I looked at him so strange. Now, that man is dead. He's passed on, and he has been judged for his belief. But if I run into that today, knowing what I know, I will come back with that with an answer of, oh, yes, we must have both Old and New Testaments. Else, again, how are you going to know that God is a conditional God?
Exactly, and the New Testament repeats that. And I,
yeah,
found, the verse, "Now if the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But
yes,
we are not of them who draw back unto perdition,
yes,
but of them that believe unto the saving of the soul." And that's Hebrews 10:38 and 39. So I've noticed a lot of, Gail Ripplinger called it cognitive scaffolding, where a lot of the key words from the Old Testament and the New Testament, they mesh. The Old Testament interprets the New.
Yeah.
And the New, the Old.
That's right. The Old Testament is prophecy, the New Testament prophecy fulfilled, but they link hand in hand. The Old Testament, to me, I love it so because it told me first who Jesus is. It told me about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And for the people who don't believe in the Trinity, they are not grounded. They're off, more than likely, they're off in a cult. You have to remember, I want to warn people about this, that one of the first signs of a cult is possession. They want full control of you. They don't want you off in the Bible. When they have a Bible study, there's usually someone there to guide and direct you through it. But if you'll start at Genesis 1:1 and go all the way to Revelations, the very end of it, and not allow anyone to teach you, but ask God, "You teach me," then you will know the difference between the false teachings and the truth. I cannot tell you how important it is to get in that Bible and to stay there. Again, I tell you, go through it over and over and over. And as you go through it, you will start putting scripture from the Old Testament together with scripture in the New Testament. And if you know your scripture, then I promise you, you're not going to be deceived. Again, go back to Matthew 24, read it all. But go to chapter 24, verse 24, and it says, "In the last days there shall be such lying signs and wonders, if it were possible," circle word if. Even the very elect would be deceived. Now, folks, I have had people who tell me that they're Christian, and they say that the elect will be deceived. Okay, they're going directly against that scripture. My Bible, the King James Bible, tells me I will not be deceived, and I believe it. If I believe anything less, then I'm believing off into another gospel. Remember, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4 tells us there is another gospel, there is another Jesus, there is another spirit. And these are all false. These are false spirits, false gospels. They're all false, and we're not to fall for that. We're people who have spiritual discernment. That spiritual discernment will come by the Bible, by the Holy Scriptures.
This podcast is concluded in part 4.
Thank you for listening to the Liberty to the Captives podcast, a ministry of LibertyToTheCaptives.net.